And if you would get your Bible, we'll turn to our text today, which will be coming out of 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll start at verse 1. I want to read this entire chapter. I know it's a lot of verses, but in order for me to convey what I want to be talking about this morning, I want to be able to read this chapter to support what I will be talking about this morning. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is trusting God when resources dry up. Is that okay this morning? And I want to give you two locations that have a significant meaning of the process that Elisha had to go through. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Amen. Are you there? Okay. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab," y'all know he was talking to the devil, right? Okay. Let's get that. This Ahab was an evil man, and he had a wife, a very familiar name, named Jezebel. So we understand that, right? "So he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." In other words, Elijah said, "I am a representative of God. Amen. There shall be not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Elijah understood the power and the dominion that he had because he was a representative of God. To be able to speak things into existence and they come to pass. Elijah said, "There will not," he was talking to the devil. He said, the devil need rain too, right? He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I stand here as a representative of God because I read in the Bible it says that he rains on the just as well as the unjust. I believe Ahab was an unjust man, even his wife and those that followed after him, because he was in charge. It seemed like he's supposed to be in charge, but it seemed like his wife was running the show." Read your Bible. You'll find out how she was running things and sending messages to Ahab, to Elijah and all that. But he said, "I stand as a representative of God. And God has given me the dominion to speak things into existence." Right. He didn't say by my word, his word, or God's word. He said by my word, because he knew that God had his back. Somebody say, "God got your back."
God got our back.
He says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning.
Look at God.
And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It seems like God fed him on two times. If you look at the text, it'll tell you that breakfast is very important. I don't know if you got that. Because he said that he fed him in the morning, and then he fed him in the evening. It didn't say nothing about lunch. But I'm going to make you a big breakfast that's going to be able to sustain you even through lunch. And go past, I know you're going to start getting hungry because you missed out. Man, y'all missing this. He said, you're going to miss lunch, but then I'm going to feed you dinner. So God fed him twice a day, didn't he? He said that he fed him in the morning, and then he fed him in the evening, and then he had some water to drink because he was right there by the brook. He was in Cherith, right? And then it says that it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Isn't it ironic that he was talking to the devil and he was going to punish the devil and show and demonstrate the power that he had because he stood as a representative of God and he spoke that thing into existence. And the very thing that he spoke in existence, it not only affected Ahab and all those who were following him on the unjust side, but it affected those on the just side. Because he said it wasn't going to be no rain. And how many people know that we need rain to keep our brooks full? We need rain to keep our fires full. We need rain to keep our lakes full. In other words, if it's no rain, we're in a drought season right now, in case you didn't know. Ride down 82nd and look at that Playa Lake where they got William A. Cool and all those, and the monuments for the soldiers and all that. Look at that lake and see how it's drying up. Because we don't have no rain. We have a sprinkle here or there, but the very thing that Elijah spoke, it came back to even affect him. He was by the brook. God still fed him in the morning, gave him a big, big breakfast. I don't know what it was, what kind of meat it was, and look what kind of animal he used to bring it to him. God can use anybody. He gave him breakfast. He gave him a dinner. And then he had a brook that he could drink some water out of. But all of a sudden, as the days went by, even the most important thing, we know food is important, but you can't go no very long time without no water. And the Bible says that the brook dried up. But will you trust God? Even when the resource, I'm talking about the important resources. When the important resources dry up, will you trust God? You ought to ask yourself that question. And I can imagine right now, the season that we're in, that people, resources are drying up. But where will they turn? If I was you, I look to the hills which come at my help, because I know that my help comes from God. And I don't matter, it don't matter if my resources begin to dry up. I still must trust God. Somebody say, get out the way. God got this. See, because the resource, life might not be the same as it used to be. And now that we're living in a new normal, back then you was making this and you were drawing this every month and the paychecks was coming in and on top of surplus and you had bumper crop coming in. You had stuff stored up. You had stuff in the bank account. You had stuff in savings. But all of a sudden things start drying up. The savings account start dwindling down because you had to go in the rainy day for them. But will you trust God? When the resources dry up, you ought to ask yourself that question. You this real super Christian that you come to church and you raise up holy hands. I dare not let the devil muzzle me when I'm going through and my resources are drying up. I'm reminded of the blind man. He heard a word. And the word said that he was in the town. And the people said that he was heard about this word. And when he came in, he said that they were trying to make him be quiet. But the more he heard about this word, the louder he got. It didn't matter that he couldn't see, but he knew that there was a word present. And I'm mad that he had some limited resources. And they told him to shut up, but the more they told him to shut up, the louder he got. Will you trust God? When the resources dry up. You know, we'll try to fix things in a minute. But there was a word to Elijah. He said, okay, the resource is drying up where you was drinking water with your meals. He said, but what I want you to do now, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, it gave him some instruction. He said, it's dried up right here. He said, but what I want you to do, he said, arise See, a wise man, you got to do something. He must have been laying down up under that tree. I don't know what he was doing. But the Bible says that, that the God told him to arise.
Yeah, and go.
Get to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Will you trust God when the resources dry up? He didn't know what was going to happen, but all he knew that it was a word that came forth, and he was obedient to the word that came forth, and God told him, say, arise and go to this widow woman, go down to Zarephath, and there is a widow woman there that was going to, that's going to sustain thee. And I was reading, I'm like, my God. But when he went down to Zarephath and he came in contact with this widow woman that he was led by God to see, that this woman right here had limited resources herself. Her resources was dried up. And the Bible says that she was gathering sticks and all that, and she was getting ready to bake a cake. But here, I'm just reading. I only have to read because I've already studied it. And he said that he went to her and he said, I'll tell you what, bake me one first. She said, I'm not going to bake you nothing first. I'm getting ready to cook this up, and me and my son getting ready to eat it, and then we don't die. But she thought about it, and he spoke a word. And she heard the word, and she said, okay then. And she was obedient to this word that she was given unto her. And instead of her baking the cake for her and her son, she baked the cake and she fed the man of God. And the Bible says, read the chapter. It said that they started, they were eating day after day. They was getting fat, fat, full. I'm telling you, boy, they was eating breakfast and lunch at them. But she didn't have nothing but a little bit. I wish somebody would turn to Proverbs, because I can't worry. We got limited resources, but it ain't stopping us from doing nothing. I wish somebody would turn to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27, because I want you to understand something, that ministry is never about yourself. But God was preparing Elijah to understand that even though the resources are drying up, I still want you to trust in me, because I am a provider. And verse 27, read it out loud.
He that giveth unto the poor.
He that giveth unto the poor.
Shall not lack.
Shall not lack.
But he that hideth his eyes.
But he that hideth his eyes.
Shall have many a curse.
Shall have many a curse. So imagine if Elisha, the woman, she wouldn't have been able to do exactly what God. But here it was, Elisha, that even though he had limited resources himself and the brook had dried up in Sherid, he wasn't even thinking about himself, but he was thinking about helping someone else. And I want you to understand, people of God, that if you help the poor,
right. Yes, Lord.
Come on now.
That you shall never lack.
Yes.
People are hungry out here, their resources dried up, and they don't know how to look to the hills yet. But if you are calm and you are intervening on their behalf, as a representative, because you stand with God and you're not listening to Ahab and all this other junk that you're thinking, oh, this all for me. I'm just going to keep it for me. But the woman, she heard a word and she said, I tell you what, I don't have much, but I believe this word. And I'm going to bake you a cake first, because I know when I bake you a cake first that I'm not going to lack anything. And it's true in the Bible that when you read in the chapter, that when she helped somebody else out, that she didn't lack nothing. And she went from limited resources to overflow, because they was eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. That's how God do things. So people of God, we are living in a time of uncertainty. People don't have resources to pay rent. People are getting evicted. There was a woman on the news. She said, I'm 60 years old. I got a daughter. She had a little teenage daughter. And they kicking them out because at that time, I think it was just last week, that at midnight, they weren't going to continue to pay people's rent. And so people were getting evicted. I guess the mom and pops or whatever they is and the apartment places and all that, they couldn't wait for it to happen because they weren't thinking about helping the poor. They was thinking about themselves, and we can't get no rent money. But people out here ain't got no money, ain't got no job, and the resources are drying up. And so they was going to kick. This woman was on national TV, and she was crying. She said, I don't know what to do. But in my spirit, I said, boy, if you could just look to the hill. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. I'm reminded what Peter said in the Bible. He said, who can observe these things? These are some hard sayings that when I'm going through something and my brook is drying up. And you tell me to trust God when I don't have no food in the refrigerator. When I don't have no gas money to put in the car. When I don't have nothing. And I might be living in a shelter, but all the shelters are full. And I don't have nowhere to go. We're in the middle of a pandemic and people are leery of this virus spread. They don't want to catch anything. So you can't come over here and live over here. I don't know where you be. So, we're living in a time of uncertainty. People can't pay their rent, can't buy food. They done lost their job. So what do we do when our brook dries up? And if you notice, I didn't read the text, I just went on and talked about it. If you notice in the text, Elijah went from Sherid to Zarephath. He was in one location and God was making provisions for him. He was feeding him in the morning. He went through lunch because he was still full from breakfast. And then he fed him supper in the evening time. Some of y'all might call it supper. Some of you might call it dinner. Some of you just say it might be eating time. But it's all the same. And then he went to Zarephath because a word came to him because he didn't have nothing to drink in Sherith. So Sherith means a cutting, a separation, a gorge, a stream. I heard Sister Falk talk about that her son, which is my nephew, got a 75-year sentence. And God had to separate him in order to talk to him. And now while he's on the inside, that he was preaching and teaching. So there had to be a separation and a cutting and a gourd that God had to separate him from some of the things that he was used to, that he was accustomed to. And then God had to cut out some infected areas in his spirit so that he can replace that with something that's going to sustain him. And when you think about this, he went from Sherith to Zarephath. And Zarephath means crucible. The place of testing. Oh my God. Wow. Elijah went through a separation because at the brook, he was all by himself. And he couldn't do nothing but depend on God. Because God supplied him with the resources. He didn't have nothing with him. He didn't have no lunch pail. He didn't have no snack pack. He didn't have anything. So when he went to this separated place, God sent the raven to be able to give him resources that God knew he needed. God know we need food. God know we need a job. God know we need all these things. He said, don't even worry about these things. I feed the sparrow. He said, the lilies of the field, they toil not. He said, why are you worried about this? But what I want you to do, when it seems like the resources have dried up and it's limited, I want you to still trust in me. Because I've already given a word. So, I believe we're in a season of testing of our faith. We've relied on our ability to sustain us through tough times. But when the cutting, the separation, and the gorging takes place, it's not very pleasant. That's it. Then right after that, we are placed
in the crucible. Because there could be some remnant of some things that's left over. And so God placed us after he did the courting and the separation to speak to us that we can hear his word, because he gave him a word through this process and he told him to arise and to go to Zarephath. He said, now that I did some cutting and some other things, that you spoke this word not only affected Ahab, but it affected you. And now this brook is drying up because you said it wasn't going to be no rain. Okay. And so since you stand as a representative of me, I got your back when you spoke that thing with your dominion. And now that he spoke it in his dominion because he trusted God, he sent him to Sherith. And at Sherith, he fed him and breakfast. He fed him at dinner and supper. And then he said when the brook started drying out, he didn't have nothing to drink to be able to swallow the food that he was getting. He said, now I want you to go to Zarephath since I've separated you and you hear what I'm saying to you. And now that I've cut out some things, that now I'm going to send you, so the remnants that's placed and that's left over, now I'm going to place you in the crucible. And I just believe if you study the life of Elijah, that he was preparing him to be raptured out. Because if you do research on Elijah, he was caught up. He never saw death, you know what I mean? And so he was preparing him for what he was going to do. He had a school of prophets, and he had to have an undertaker that he was going to leave that was going to get a double portion on his behalf. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to separate you. This devil going to be after you, and I want you to understand that I got your back. And even when you think you all alone and the resources are dried up, he said, I'm going to open up your eyes and let you know that there are 7,000 that haven't even bowed down to Baal. He said, because if you continue to study Elijah, he thought he was by himself. But what do you do when the resources dry up? And just like my nephew, he was separated. He was sent to Sherith. And he was cut it out and he was gorged out. But he was provided for in a stream. I'm sure he was eating big commissary, and people were sending him resources down there to sustain him for the 14 years, almost 14. I think August will be 14 years exactly. But he'll be home before then, right in August. They're already processing his paperwork right now.
Praise him.
But now he's going to get ready to go through a testing period when he come out. All that preaching and teaching he was doing, don't just do it in there. Don't leave your Bible at the walls. But when you come outside the walls, I want you to be able, because I'm sending you in the crucible now. And now this is a testing time that you're going to go through. And even through this pandemic that we're going through, when the resources are drying up, and God is seeing if we're going to continue to trust in him when our resources are limited. So I believe God has gotten some of our attention. Somebody say, but God. Say it again. Say, but God. In this season, God is watching to see if we will have continued obedience. Let's look at verse 5. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Is that right? That's in the Bible. So in verse 5 and 17 and 5, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he went and did according to the word of God. It seems like he heard the word. He got specific instructions, and then he was obedient to what God said. And then it says that he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. Then when you drop down to verse 9, we're talking about continued obedience. Then he gave him another word. He says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And sometimes we focus on the lack thereof, and God is already working things out. You remember the ram in the bush? Oh, okay. That they wasn't focused on what they didn't have, but even the little lamb said, God shall provide. Yeah. that he understood because he was hanging around a man of faith. And it didn't matter what it looked like because he told the two other guys, he said, y'all stay down here with the donkey and me and the lad are going to go up into the mountain. But when they got up to the mountain, they didn't have everything that they needed. And the little boy said, where is the sacrifice? And he wasn't contemplating on the lack thereof of the sacrifice, but all he said was, God will provide. If I was you, I'd say it out of my mouth right now. You might be experiencing some lack of resources, but I dare you to say, God shall provide.
God shall provide.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
What did you do?
When
the resources have dried up. So you see this continuance of obedience from Elijah in verse 5 and 9. And then as you see this, as you go further down into this chapter, that you will see that there is continuous provision. You didn't have the provision, but you already know who is the provider.
All right.
And through this continued obedience, because he was doing exactly what God was telling him to do, God continually made provision. And when he went and he met this widow woman, this woman didn't even have that much. And sometimes we want to keep everything to ourselves and our neighbor are suffering. And we want to keep it to ourselves. But God said, if you'll release the little bit that you have, he said, much is given, much is required. I can't give you much because you want to hold on to the little. And you thinking about yourself, but yourself and self. But the widow woman heard a word.
Yes.
And she was obedient. It's a theme in this chapter.
Amen.
Obedience. Provision. And tested obedience. Because the obedience, as we get down to verse 15 through 24, it will show the tested obedience. So when we trust in God, even when we are in the crucible, in Zarephath, he will continue to make provisions. This place of testing. Even in the crucible, our obedience will be tested. Drop down to verse 15 and 20. I'm about done. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. This is the continued provision. Because she was obedient to the word. And since she was obedient to the word, it didn't matter through the limitations of the resources. But she followed after the word that was spoken. And when he spoke the word, she took heed to the word. And the Bible says in this verse 15, and he went and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. That's continual provision. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I know they ate a lot of pancakes, because when you take the meal and you take some oil, you can make some pancakes. And it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. We're talking about tested obedience now. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? And sometimes through these struggles that we have, that sometimes we begin to doubt what God is going to do. But God is still working things out. And hear what she said to this man of God. She says, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into a loft, where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I'm sojourning by slaying her son? He asked God a question. And he stressed himself upon the child three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. It looks like his obedience is being tested. It looks like his faith is being tested. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber in the house and delivered him into the mother, to his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. There's people watching you because your obedience is being tested, your faith is being tested, and if you continue to trust God, even when your resources are drying up, that it's going to impact and it's going to make a difference in somebody else's life. Yes. People of God, I encourage you today, no matter if your brook dries up, continue to be obedient to God. Amen. Continue to help those in need. Ministry is never about you, but about helping someone else. What do you do when your resources dry up? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to trust in God. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this word. I hope you enjoyed this word. Praise God. We're going to stand. And we're going to say a prayer. And we're going to be dismissed so we can go make us some pancakes. That might be all you have in your house. You might just have some meal and some oil. And if you got some meal and some oil, why don't you make you some pancakes? Put you some peanut butter on. Come on, somebody. That's that down south thing right there. God is a good God. He is a provider. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. Trust God in everything in your life. I know the children are messing up. I know it seems like they're not going to come out. But they thought about that. They thought we weren't going to never come out. They thought Sister Marshall was going to stay out the store. They thought she was going to stop using that high dollar habit she had. And she wasn't by herself, but I was with her too. And you was with her too. And some of y'all might not have had that issue, but we had some issues. But God brought us out. And God is able to do what he said, what he'll do. He's gonna. Every promise. God's promises are yea and amen. Trust God. When your resources. Amen. Somebody say he's able. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for this word today, God. We thank you that, God, we're going to continue to trust in you, God. Oh, God, we're going to be obedient, God, even when the resources are drying up, God. Oh, God, even when our faith is being tested, God, our obedience is being tested, God. We're going to believe you for the provisions, God, that you make for us, God. Oh, God, we're not going to look at it, God, because we walk by faith and not by sight, God.
I pray the blessings over everyone under the sound of my voice and even those in their absence, God. Oh, God, I pray for every marriage, God. I pray for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, God. I thank you, God, for bringing those out, God, that are suffering in their addictions, God. I thank you for healing the sick body, God, the cancer-filled body, God, the diabetes, God. I thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Touch in the name of Jesus, God. Let us listen to the word, God. Most of all, your word, God. And even when the doctor gives us instructions, God, let us take heed to it, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Let us not take things into our own hands, God. But most of all, remember, God, that we stand, God, as representatives of you, God. And that, God, how we deal with things, God, and handle things, God, can, God, directly, God, impact someone else, God. And so, God, we thank you, God, that you said in your word, God, that we help the poor, God. If we give to the poor, then we'll never lack, God. So I thank you, God, that we can extend ourselves in ministry, God, because we realize it's not about us, God. And so, God, we look to the hills which come with our help, because our help comes from you, God. Continue to cover us, God, when we're in our homes, God. Continue to cover us, God, when we ride down the street, God, when we go and run errands and go to our jobs, God. Continue to cover us, God, when we sleep and slumber, God, in the image of death, God. Oh, God, and keep your angels around in the balance, God, and even as we leave this place, but to never leave your presence. Be with us, God. Keep us from hurting one more thing, God, as we go to our various destinations. We'll forever give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We know that you're able. In Jesus' name, amen.